do it. How you been?
Not too bad, man, other than having some identity theft, cleaning out my debit card account.
Oh, that's never good. I'm expecting it. I just got back from New Orleans. Every time we go to New Orleans, one of our cards ends up getting hit.
Right.
In fact, we tried to travel smart this time by actually taking gift cards. So we had some gift cards we loaded up. So make sure that if somebody sold them midgets, we'd...
Right. They'd be limited to what they could get.
Yeah. But certainly, certainly somewhere. But it happens. New Orleans is a den of thieves.
A bunch of people trying to get by, man, by getting over on you. That's what New Orleans is.
I can bet I can tell you where you got them shoes.
Yeah. On your feet.
You got them right here on the street. All right. Well, we just finished our wonderful episode 67 about the Weekly World News. It's all about fake news. This is not fake news. We're talking about some real stuff going on, going down, and it's coming soon. It's only a couple months away.
You know, it's funny. I had a Comicpalooza meeting this past weekend, and I actually told them, I said, I want you guys to know I'm more excited about Texas Frightmare Weekend, the Comicpalooza at this point, because they've announced a tremendous lineup, and we haven't announced Jack yet.
Right. Even, dude, pretty much the lineup that Frightmare, I mean, Frightmare's going to continue probably announcing guests, but they could stop now.
Yeah, and it'd be an incredible show.
Well, it'll be an incredible... Dude, I'm going to go dead-ass broke just on the Jasons. Just on the Jasons. I mean, I've got that... We'll get into it in just a second. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 67.5. It is a meta, which is our... For whatever reason, the word that we use for very special episode. It's episode between the episodes. And this one is all about Texas Frightmare Weekend, the 13th. It's their 13th year. Texas Frightmare Weekend up in Dallas-Fort Worth. And this year they are bringing the noise by having a Friday the 13th reunion.
For the 13th anniversary.
For the 13th anniversary. So... we had an episode about how much we loved Friday the 13th. In fact, I think we've had a couple episodes talking about Friday and Jason and machetes and Scream Queens.
It's definitely a movie that comes up, a franchise that comes up time to time on a horror podcast.
Absolutely. And every day they just keep announcing more guests. And, you know, so the first... episode we did about Frightmare Weekend a couple weeks ago here, they had announced a couple here, a couple there, and the lineup was already impressive. It was already just, it was a give me on tickets. Like, you just, there is no question that we're going to this thing.
Yeah.
Then they went ahead and just kind of opened the floodgates. So we were going to do another kind of teaser show about some of the guests that have been announced since the last show that we did. But, that would be like two shows by themselves, just listing off the names. It's incredible. Right. So we decided we're going to go ahead and just start at the beginning and do this episode about the Jason panel.
You know, yes. We'll go ahead. We'll do a couple of metas, just detailing, just getting more into the different areas they're going to cover at Texas Frightmare Weekend, but... yeah, this one we're going to go ahead and get into the Jason grouping that they have, which is, it's pretty impressive when you think about the fact that they're only missing one.
And there's...
well, they're missing two. One of them has passed away, so they can't get them. But they're only... and they haven't finished announcing yet. So you never know what might pop up. But right. There's only one Jason at this point that they are missing.
Absolutely. So we're just going to start at the beginning for the ones that have been announced. What's your favorite Friday the 13th?
Well, you know who the scariest Jason is to me, and always has been, is the sackhead Jason.
Right.
To me, the sack was just scarier than the hockey mask. You know, that sack mask has been used in a lot of different horror movies for effect, too, you know, very successfully.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, number two is definitely the scariest one.
Crazy redneck Jason.
Yeah.
I mean, that was whenever it was still plausible.
He was still young. He was getting his strength. He was maturing, I guess you could say, to what he ended up becoming.
Right. And he was human.
Yeah.
And he was pissed. I think it's funny because as we talk through the different Jasons and the different actors that have played him, the Friday the 13th franchise, I think we said it was like one of the maybe the seventh most successful movie franchise in movie history.
Yeah, not just horror, but in movie history.
And Jason Voorhees is one of the most recognizable characters. People who have never seen a Friday the 13th, people who have never seen a scary movie, they know who Jason is.
They can associate the hockey mask to the movie.
Right. So, but as Jason evolved through the years, and especially into the later movies when he was unkillable.
He was zombified.
He was zombified, but just kind of like this unkillable, just killing machine, behemoth. A lot of people, he gets, they say he didn't run, he always does this and he does that, that he didn't really do. Like, he never shows emotion. He never, he does in those early movies.
Oh, yeah, in part two, he gets aggravated. He gets his butt kicked every once in a while. He's human, definitely.
Right. And an angry killer psychopath is much more frightening to a real person than a fantastical monster.
Than a great white shark on land, essentially.
Right. So, I'm there with you. I've been rewatching them. I've rewatched recently in the last couple of months. I've rewatched 4 and 6. I got that collection, and there's definitely a declining scare factor when he's less human.
Yeah.
Not Jason himself. I'm talking about the way the movies treat the horror aspect of it, and for just plain scares. 2 is probably going to be the one that's the most true horror movie.
Yeah.
So come on out and get a signature by Steve Dash, the Baghead Jason.
He will be in the house. He will be in costume for pictures.
Are you gonna
I'm bringing the G.I. Joe one. I was going between that one and the Nika that I have, and I decided to go ahead and go with the G.I. Joe figure.
That G.I. Joe one's pretty badass.
It's unique. I've never seen anybody else have one. I think that'd be a cool one to get a signature on. So
very cool, very cool. So moving on to number 3. Unfortunately,
number 3 is still one of my favorite Friday the 13th movies. It was in 3D for one, which was cool. Even though it was the red and blue 3D from back in our younger days, it was still, I was young at that time, and 3D was still cool no matter what.
Yeah, we actually played part 3 at our Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween show as a feature because we had it in 3D, and it was... It's a great Friday.
It's a great Friday. I love, he kind of sets himself up in the barn. It's like you've mentioned before on the show, this is my barn. Just don't come in here.
Yeah.
Anybody that came in the barn, he just dispatched them real quick.
Exactly. And he was still angry.
Yeah.
He was not a happy guy in part 3.
But he was still looking for that blonde-haired girl that got away from him.
That's it. We actually lost Jason, Mr. Richard Brooker, back in 2013.
Yep.
Which I don't know if anybody noticed the irony of that year.
Yeah.
Losing an iconic horror figure there. But Mr. Brooker, therefore, can't be at Frightmare. But we want to pay tribute to him. He made one of our
favorite Friday the 13th for sure. So
we're gonna
salute.
Have a little toast to Mr. Brooker here, because 3D is also where he got the iconic mask.
Yep. Yeah. Part 3 was where he got the mask from old Shelley.
Yeah. Just took it off a victim. Said, "This is mine now." So then we move into some Corey Feldman territory.
Then when Corey joined the cast.
In the inaptly named final chapter.
It's far from over, baby.
We're not even halfway there. But we got Mr. Ted White coming in, representing the final appearance of Jason as a human, or as human as he could have been, before he got his head bashed in by Corey at the end, Tommy Jarvis. Final chapter is my personal favorite Friday the 13th.
Okay. It's a good one. It's definitely a good one. I always enjoy that one.
There's so many iconic kills in that one. Jason's really kind of coming into his own at that point. You know, there's a lot of just kind of random kills, too. I mean, yeah, he's terrorizing the kids in the cabin, but he's also, you know, like, just randomly kills that hitchhiker.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of stuff like that where it goes from less of a defending my home and revenge to just kind of all-out war.
Right.
He's just
want to take everybody out.
Killing everybody. So, yeah, that's certainly one that all of these are going to go on that mask. Like I said, it's going to break me. I don't know how much signatures are going to cost. But, hey, with the exception of Mr. Brooker, I've got all these guys and Tom Savini. I will have them all.
Yeah. And did you get Ari?
I haven't, but he's coming to Houston.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. He has to come and do a signing in Houston. So remember that.
So then I'll have them all. It's like Pokemon or something.
You got to get them all.
Can you imagine opening up that Pokeball and having 13 different Jasons just pop out? All right. Next, we got number 5, A New Beginning. Mr. Tom Morga.
Tom Morga.
We got C.J. Graham from Jason Lives.
Which was the real, where Jason really turned into zombie Jason. You got to know the undead Jason for sure.
And we saw also where he found out he does not like paintball.
You will not play paintball in these woods.
These are mine.
And then we go into the Kane Hodder era, which mm-hmm. Kane Hodder is, you know, definitely be considered the definitive Jason because he played the role in so many movies. I think he was a part of some of the movies before as far as stunt coordinator goes.
You know, he was also the model for the Jason in the video game.
Yeah.
So just the way he walks, the way he kills, the way his body moves.
He's the quintessential Jason.
Yeah. He's the most well-known for sure.
Yeah.
And he just embodied that role so much that they just brought him back again and again and again. Kane Hodder was in 7, 8, 9, and X.
And 10, yes.
You call it 10, it's Roman numeral 10.
Yeah.
But it's part 10. So, thank God he was in so many because I couldn't afford autographs from like 3 other guys.
Just take care of all those movies in one.
I'll be there with my tin cup out in front of Fry Bear being like, need money for autographs. But yeah, he was in part 7, The New Blood, which again, you talk about one of the more iconic Jasons, that Jason with that chain around his neck.
Yep.
Coming up out of the lake and then, you know, with the ribs showing through his clothes. Right. And all that. Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, the only movie where he takes off his mask intentionally whenever he's scaring off those street toughs.
Right.
And he hookshots that dude's head right off his shoulders into the trash can.
And he teaches us all that he hates rap music.
Yep. Jason Goes to Hell, yep. The first interaction that we'd see with Freddy Krueger.
Yes.
Is at the end of Goes to Hell whenever he pulls the mask into hell with him at the end whenever he dies. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen part 9. All right, and then kicking off the new generation.
Ken Kersinger, star of Freddy vs. Jason, which is a very underrated film in my opinion. I enjoyed it immensely.
No, it was good. I watched that again not too long ago.
I like the way they developed the storyline with the battle between the two iconic horror monsters.
And kind of how they used each other.
Yeah.
Or how Freddy used Jason as a weapon.
But Jason still got over on him.
Mm-hmm. And how Jason didn't give a shit.
Yeah. He didn't care about anybody.
He's being used, and the kids are like, hey, you're being used, you know? And he's like, okay, stab you anyway.
I just want to kill people.
Yeah, now I'll kill everybody and then just go fight this guy.
But it was a cool one. You know, there were some great... Freddie always has great one-liners. In that movie, he had a lot of great one-liners. It was a classic combination of the two franchises.
Well, and I told you, it's funny because I guess just with the way movies released or whatever, this video collection is only it's not available. I know a guy. I don't know him personally. There's a podcast I follow called The Podcast Under the Stairs, and they do a bunch of horror movie reviews and stuff like that. And he posted the other day, he posted this 8-movie Friday the 13th collection that's coming soon over there in Scotland. And I'm like, man, I've had that thing for months. So I've been on a hunt for the old VHSs because the video transfers on the DVDs I wasn't a real big fan of.
Right.
But these DVDs actually, it's like lo-fi DVDs.
They like keep the
yeah. So sometimes you watch HD horror movies from the 80s, and I don't know if you've seen like the HD Wizard of Oz. It's creepy. Like you can see all the plastic in the props.
Right. Right.
It doesn't look.
You see the imperfections.
Right. Well, it looks like a movie set. It doesn't look like the. So sometimes you get these HD DVDs and
the transfer doesn't carry.
And it was driving me nuts because I'd get a Friday the 13th and I'd put it on and it looked like makeup and set pieces. But these DVDs, I don't know if it was like a HD Blu-ray like recreation of the film stock or what, but it's almost like a lo-fi transfer to where it looks again like the old movies. So it's really kind of cool. So that comes 1 through 8, and then I got X and Freddy versus Jason, like on the same day at the same time. So the only movie I'm missing is Jason Goes to Hell.
Okay.
So maybe I can find that one in a dollar bin somewhere.
It'll pop up somewhere, I'm sure.
But I'm such a damn Friday the 13th fan. My wife's like, she's like. You know, I've got the mask on its little pedestal on a shelf, and then next to that is a little like 7-inch Nika Jason from Final Chapter, and then next to that is like this Mezco like stylized, so it's like his body parts and everything are just kind of sort of weird. It was kind of just stylized. Then I've got a couple other little things and pieces and parts. My wife's like, "How many of those things do you need?" I'm like, "Well, babe, there's like 13 sequels." Yeah, again, gotta collect them all.
I was thinking of the other day, how many pinheads do I need? I really need. There's just so many of them.
Well, there's short ones and there's tall ones. There's ones that are smiling.
There's some from different movies.
There's ones that aren't smiling. I mean, come on, you gotta get all the expressions in.
That's right.
But anyway, man, I just cannot wait. It is on May 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Yes, at the Hyatt Regency at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport.
And I've been there before. You think, oh, it's a hotel airport. Yes, it is, but parking's super easy. The entire venue is super accommodating. Like, it is perfectly sized for an event of this size where it's small enough to feel intimate. And you get to see everybody in passing. They're not behind curtains or whatever.
Right.
You'll see celebrities walking, you know, hitting the bathroom or whatever. And, you know, but be cool with that. Don't, like, try to hit them up for an autograph outside because that's what they're making their money on. But, you know, you get to you'll see people just everywhere.
Yeah.
And
I'm actually staying at an overflow hotel, but even the overflow hotel, it's a shuttle ride over.
Yeah.
And you're at the show.
But it's super, super easy. I highly recommend you go. Tickets are nothing. They're like $25 for all of these people.
Compared to a lot of cons, and with the lineup that they have, they've set up for us, it's a very reasonable weekend.
Absolutely. So, and then in addition to Jason, and you know, we're going to do each of these in probably its own little separate episode, but in addition to Friday the 13th, that you want to list off all the reunions
they got? Yeah, they have an absolutely insane Hellraiser reunion that's going to be going on.
Including Clive Barker.
Yes.
Himself.
With you want to talk about rare appearances, Clive Barker is going to be in the house. And we'll have an episode where we detail all the Hellraiser stuff because I am just a ridiculous Clive Barker fan. And we'll be talking about that one a little bit more intently also. You're looking at a Saw reunion with not only some of the actors from the movie, but also the director of 2, 3, and 4. There's going to be a huge Child's Play reunion. They're calling it a celebration of Chucky, if I'm not mistaken, which ought to be very, very interesting. And the recently announced Losers Club get together, which is going to be two of the young kids from the newest It movie.
Mm-hmm.
Will be in the house. Chosen Jacobs and Jeremy Taylor. Which ought to be that's going to be pretty cool to see them. Two up and coming actors that have already kind of staked their place in the horror genre.
Absolutely.
Another recently announced one that we haven't spoken about is Katie Featherstone, who was the wife in the first Paranormal Activity, which will be that's a movie that
changed the game, really.
Oh yeah, it took what Blair Witch did and just put it above and beyond what anybody could imagine. You know, this independent film could have accomplished, man.
Well, you know, not to go off on a tangent, but you and I have had those conversations with ourselves and with some guests and stuff. Is like, what is scary? Paranormal Activity, the first one specifically, shows you that being alone in a room and having a door move, it can be the most scary thing in the world. You know, just because this fear of the unknown. What moved that door?
Right.
And
the jump scares in that movie were just
the movie
insane.
Was great. I mean, that movie was
so
awesome.
Well done.
So I cannot wait.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
Tickets
man.
Are bought. Hotels are booked.
And also, we can't forget coming up for Valentine's Day. Texas Frightmare Weekend is sponsoring a very special evening at the Alamo Draft House in Richardson, Texas, where they're going to be screening My Bloody Valentine for all those couples that are horror fans also can spend Valentine's evening with Peter Cowper, who was the miner in the original My Bloody Valentine movie.
Nice.
They'll be doing a Q&A and signing autographs and stuff. So that's another thing that Texas Frightmare Weekend is bringing to us as a lead-up to the actual big show. So it's
the
pretty
big,
cool.
Big show.
The big show, yes.
Man, I can't wait.
Well, it's going to be insane.
The days are creeping by. I'm just looking forward to more guest announcements and more event announcements. And
there's more coming. I mean, they even threw out this thing the other day, asked people for what are some of the guests that they'd like to see coming up. So
incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how they do it, man. They're
bringing it, though, man.
They really, really are. Well, heck, you know, let's all raise a glass once more to Richard Brooker from Friday Part 3. We're not going to get to see him, but thank you for what you did with the horror genre. You created an icon.
Oh,
you embodied an icon.
Definitely.
And for the rest of them, I cannot wait to meet you guys in person.
And for Ari, what's going on, man? Get in touch with him. Let's get you in this too, man. I've spent time with you before. You're a great guy, and hope I get to see you at this one too, man.
Rock and roll. That is episode 67.5, very special episode on Texas Frightmare Weekend, the 13th year.
Make sure to, if you can, go. We'll be there. Check us out. We can hang out a little bit. You can meet the Scary Dad team, and we'll be handing out some swag and some other things and walking around enjoying the show with everybody.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Later.